Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free book of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hey everyone, how's it going today? Today we're going to talk about Valentine's Day, or in some cases, anti-Valentine's Day here on Book Hype. And I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Brittany. Hey guys, what's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. So how's everyone doing this weekend? We got snow up here. I know Karen didn't get snow because she's down in, you know, the nice, warm, cozy, toasty place. Brittany, did you guys get a lot of snow?
Not a lot. Like we got, no. I woke up and there were like 4 inches of snow on the ground. And then by the time I came home, there was no snow because it like got really sunny around like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and melted everything.
Yeah. So we were supposed to, at the beginning of the week, they said we were only supposed to get like 1 to 3 inches. And then Friday came and we got 6 to 12 and it was like heavy, disgusting. We lost power. I was not happy. Who has a snow? Like, we had a snow day from school, which was kind of nice, but then I had no power. I couldn't do anything. It was really annoying. It was very, I couldn't get any work done. I could do nothing. It was so, anyway, but it was nice to have an extra long weekend this weekend. So, enough complaining about the weather. Let's talk about what we've been reading. So, Miss Karen, why don't you go ahead and go first? Because you have some interesting choices kicking around on your list.
Yeah, they're pretty different. First one is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny by Justin Hill. And I just started getting into this sort of thing. I've been wanting to watch the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for a long time and never got around to it. And this was finally my reason to sit down and watch it. And I liked it. It was a little weird in places, but overall, very good movie, especially if you like martial arts movies. But even if you don't, I think it's got a great plot. And the female warriors are right at the front of the story, which I was not aware of going into it. So I was like really pleasantly excited by that. And for anyone who doesn't know, because I definitely didn't know, that movie was based on a series of books called the Iron Crane series. And they adapted it as the movie, and then Netflix is going to be coming out with a second movie, original, for February, the end of February. And this book, The Sword of Destiny, is a novelization of the screenplay. So it's basically what's going to happen in the movie, but just in novel form. So I read it and really liked it. I thought it had the same tone as the movie, and I haven't read any of the other books by the original author, but Justin Hill did a really good job of just making it feel very genuine. And so I'm curious if anyone is a huge fan of the books or the first movie, if they read this and how they feel about it. But I really liked it. I thought it was great. And then the second book I read was Raging Sea by Michael Buckley, which is the second Undertow book. And as Kristen can attest, I walk into the living room and wanted to throw the book out the window when I finished. But that's a good thing because I didn't want it to ended on a cliffhanger, as he does apparently, because he did that in Undertow too. And I've been describing this book as part road trip movie, part Prison Break, and part like Battlefield, basically. It's like a war movie at the end. And it was just, it hit all of those elements like throughout the book. The first part's the road trip, the second part's kind of like a prison break, and then the third part is just battling all of these, the Alpha, and these really terrible things come on shore and they have to fight them too. And Lyric's pretty badass, especially at the end. So if you liked Undertow, I think you're going to like Raging Sea.
Excellent. We'll be looking forward to that one. I need you to pick that one up. I didn't realize it came out last week. I somehow missed that. But all right. So, Brittany, go ahead and tell us what you've been reading, because I think Kristen's had some influence on you again.
Yeah, so it's been a really, really, really busy week for me, but I did find time to read The Score by L. Kennedy to, you know, complete that series of books, and it did not disappoint. It was beautiful, and these romance books are killing me. And then I read, like, by accident read this, and I almost forgot about it, but my niece was, like, staying over this week, and she had the book Drama by, I'm going to butcher her name, Raina Telgemeier.
Yes.
So she does, like, graphic novels for middle school grade readers, and I've seen Smile and Sisters. I think I have a copy of Sisters from BEA a couple years ago. And then Drama is about these, like, theater kids and this one girl who works, like, she's the stage crew person, and she's building the sets, and, like, the budget isn't there, and, like, she's kind of crushing on these two brothers, and it's, like, all the people who just aren't popular but have, like, their own little tight-knit community. And it's a really, really cute graphic novel for, like, a middle schooler, and it's a little older, actually, I'd think. My niece is 11. But I thought it was fine for her. And she doesn't like to read, but she devours these books. And Rihanna started doing the, like, animating the Babysitter's Club series, which I am so excited about because that means that my niece will read the Babysitter's Club finally. And I don't have to worry about her just buying her the books and her not reading them. But I thought it was really cute. And I picked it up out of her backpack and just sat on the couch and, like, flipped through it. And then all of a sudden I was done with it. So I was like, oh, that was a nice break.
Awesome. And Kristen, what have you been up to? You've been reading a few things, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a few more to finish before Tuesday, which should be fun. No, I finished finally the Hard Ink series by Laura Kay. And I got to review Hard Ever After, which is the very, like, end of the story. It's a novella. It's really cute for Hypeable. And I have to say that I loved this series when I started it. I really, really loved the first couple of books, and it didn't disappoint in the end. Like, the whole thing wrapped up. I hadn't read the last book in the series because, if you know anything about me, I hate endings. And I knew that if I finished, like, the last of the last, that this was finally going to be done. And yeah, it was just, you know, I was sad to see it go because it was such a good book. But I highly recommend that if you're into, like, suspense or mystery mixed in with your romance, because it's the series is basically about this group of ex-military men who, they were all in the same squadron in, like, Afghanistan, and they were dishonorably or other than honorably discharged after their commander led them into, like, a bad situation, and they got blamed for it because everyone else in their squadron died. And when they get back, like, something happens, and they get kind of thrown into figuring out who it was that did all of this, and, like, how it all came about, and who's to blame. And it's really, really interesting, like, getting into them trying to clear their name, and, you know, along the way, while they're trying to solve this, they each kind of run into women who just, like, will not be denied, and it's fabulous. Other than that, I also read The Siren by Kira Cass, which is, like, its polar opposite, like, the polar opposite of that series, which is a really, really interesting read. If you are looking for something a little different, something you haven't quite gotten into before, this is a book to try. It's not a happy book. It's not a book to read for a light Sunday afternoon, you know, romp, but it's really, really well done. And it was an interesting world to drop into. The Siren is all about this girl who gets taken from the sea and saved by the ocean, capital O, and becomes a siren, and is, you know, she's brought into this servitude for 100 years because she was saved. And after that 100 years, she gets to live her life as a teenage girl, and she will no longer remember any of the time she spent as a siren or before she was a siren. So she'll just kind of wake up at 16 and go on from there. And the book is all about this girl, Kaylin, trying to get through these 100 years of servitude as a siren, and how, like, that affects her and all that. It's so, so good. So I highly recommend it. It just was re-released
in January. So there's a brand new cover and it's gorgeous. And yeah. And lastly, I haven't finished it, but I'm working on I Wish You Were Mine by Lauren Lane, which just gets a shout out because it's the second book in the Oxford series. And I love, 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 love Lauren Lane. And I haven't had enough time to like sit down and really devour it yet. But so far, it's really great. So that's me.
Awesome. You got a lot of reading done. I'm very impressed. All right. So as a reminder, our February book is going to be Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies by Jane Austen and Seth Graham Smith. We will be talking about the movie, which I think all of us have actually seen, even though it just came out yesterday. And then our March book is going to be The Shadow Queen by CJ Redwine. And that comes out at the end of this month. So you guys will be able to pick it up in plenty of time before we get started on that one. So you have plenty of time to read it.
So one book to consider downloading from audible.com is Raging Sea, of course, by Michael Buckley. And like I said before, this is the second book in the Undertow trilogy. We read Undertow quite a while back on Book Hype and generally liked it, thought it was a really different kind of mermaid story. I'm even hesitant to call them mermaids, that's how different it is, but they're pretty cool. And if you liked the first one, definitely try the second one because it really increases the stakes and pumps up the action and gives you a lot of new elements to deal with, which is always interesting when you're dealing with a series. It doesn't feel repetitive at all. So if that's anything that sounds good to you, go visit audiblepodcast.com/bookhype.
All right, so let's get on with talking about this week's episode, which is really all about the romance because Valentine's Day is coming up. So we brought Kristen on, who is our romance expert. She reads all kinds of romance books and tells us what to read. She's very helpful that way. So we're going to discuss all different kinds of things. Some best couple actions, some love stories, and best breakup stories, because let's face it, all some romance does not last forever. And then, of course, best revenge plots, because there are some crazy people in the world. So always watch who you date. So and then Karen is going to get to talk about zombies, because... That was part of the stipulation of having a romance-y episode was that Karen would get to talk about zombies. So we're going to let her do that. I'm not really sure how it relates. I'm sure she'll come up with some little small thread to make it connect.
Oh, I have. I have a connection.
She's thought it out, my friends. It could be very interesting. So, and then, of course, we will talk about Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies when Karen talks about zombies because, well, how could we not? All right. So let's get started with this lovely, lovely episode. And let's talk about some of the best romantic books. Who has a romantic book that they want to talk about? Kristen, I'm sure you have a list 5 miles long, but give us some. What do you think?
Let's see.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but.
Yeah. No, I made a list. I stayed up last night and made a list so that I would be good to go at all times. All right. Let's say... One of my favorites that I've read recently is Archer's Voice by Mia Sheridan. And it's she's got this series thing going on right now, but it's not a series in the typical way you'd think about it. She's doing a series of books. One is based around one of the astrological signs, but they don't require you to read any of the others to like understand them. They're all standalones, but she and it's not an obvious thing that it's based around the astrological sign. She just kind of is steering them towards the qualities of the sign that she's writing about. I honestly don't even know what sign Archer's Voice is based on. I just picked it up because it was recommended to me, and then I found out about the series part. But it's a really, really good story. It's about this guy that has lost his ability to speak and hear and has been living as like a hermit in this town. It's a really small New England town. And he for years has just been the misunderstood guy. His family had all died in an accident, I believe. And this girl moves to town and runs into him like quite literally somewhere. And they kind of strike up a friendship, and it's a really, really beautiful little story. So if you're looking for like straight up just romance-y kind of thing, that book is really, really great. I'm also going to throw
maybe someday by Colleen Hoover into this category, because it doesn't really fit in any other categories. But it's actually, funny enough, another book about a deaf hero. But he writes music, which I think is one of the coolest things I've ever read, is a hero who can't hear, but like can still write music and does so very, very well. And that story, it doesn't really need much explanation other than it's really, really good. Like, it's, you know, it's about a guy who sees a girl across the way, like from his balcony in his apartment village, and they just kind of connect. And then it's him dealing with all the stuff in his life while he's also like talking to this girl. It's just great. I highly recommend it. It's not exactly the happiest of happy throughout the story, but you know, like all romance, you're pretty much guaranteed a happy ever after. It's just a thing with romance. So, you know, you won't be disappointed, but it's so, so, so good.
Okay. I like it. Karen, do you have any romance books that you want to talk about?
Actually, one that I haven't talked about in a long time is Sugar, which isn't necessarily romance, but definitely has a romantic element to it. This book, if you guys remember, is the one about this girl who is very much overweight and is kind of like dealing with that in her life and is being verbally abused by her family. But she has this friend, this guy, and she definitely has feelings for him, and it's about her journey to being the person she wants to be, and it's about him just accepting her as she is. And I think it's a really good story to read for anybody, really, but particularly if you have trouble with your weight, or, you know, you're not close to your family because of those same kind of reasons. I think it's a really important book to be aware of.
Awesome. Very nice. Brittany, how about you?
Are we talking about just like romance novels? Like, because I see we have love stories later.
Well, I mean, it can be any number of things. We can talk about the love stories now, and then we can talk about the breakup stories later.
Okay, because I'm trying to like I'm trying to like categorize my like list of things into these topics.
I know.
I'll just like talk about it, and then you can take it as you want. Okay. My favorite love story, for some reason, is like the most complicated love story in the world, and that's Jane Eyre, because Mr. Rochester is like the one who cannot be attained, and like you want him to like get with Jane so badly, and it's like the most complicated story in the world, and I love it so much. That was the first book I thought of when we were making these lists. And then I have to say that Anna and St. Clair story and Anna and the French Kiss is just
totally stole mine.
I'm so
it's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I know I should write things down.
I didn't either. It's all right.
Yeah, they at really any of Steph Perkins couples, just they kill me. They're brilliantly written. All of Steph's books they're like my favorite romances to read. And then like a guilty pleasure of mine is anything written by Sarah Dessen. I will devour it in like a single sitting. So those like romance stories of like the small beach town, I love it so much. So a couple classics and then some Sarah Dessen.
Yeah, well, you know, Sarah Dessen is pretty fantastic with what she writes, let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't love her work. Let's see. So for me, I'm trying to think. Like, it's so hard to categorize them into different things. Like, I get what you're saying when you say that. I do love anything Anna and the French Kiss, primarily because she knows how to write a couple, I guess. Like, and it's not like insta-love, and it's not, there's just something, because there's a complication to it always, and I think that's what I like about it. I don't know. I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, have you guys ever read any Ellie Carter? She used to write, her first series was, I can't remember it. It was the one at the boarding school, the Gallagher girls. I kept wanting to say the Gilmore girls. Okay, it's fine. The Gallagher girls. But in her second novels, series, The Heist Society, there's a really, first of all, the novels are really fun. It's about these teens who are like Ocean's 11. It's pretty fantastic, I'm not going to lie. But there's the girl Kat, who's kind of like the ringleader, and this boy who's wealthy beyond belief. He doesn't need to be parts of the heist, but he's kind of involved because of Kat. And their relationship is really, really fun to kind of watch grow over time and stuff. So I really like that kind of as like the YA romance aspect of it. And adult romance, I'm like, I read a lot of them, but I can't say one of them sticks out to being like this, oh my God, I love it. Kind of like it's perfection thing. I don't know. Maybe because I read so many of them, they kind of like fall into a pattern for me after a while. It's hard to choose.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because I want to say literally every single book that Kristen has ever recommended to me, yeah, I mean, I've absolutely loved too.
Right, and I really loved a lot of the Ivy League series that you suggested, Kristen, that we read the first one as a review book, and then I literally bought them all and read the Ivy Years, yeah. I literally bought the rest of them and like read them immediately, because like I literally read them in under a week, and I read one of them twice. So those were definitely good. And it wasn't just the romance, I guess, in those books that I liked. There were lots of things. And I guess that's what's hard for me, is it's not always just about the romance in a book for me. It has to have more than that to it. Because if it just has a romance, so it tends to be kind of like, eh. But having that romance to be like invested in as a reader to see where it goes is also enjoyable too. So I don't know. I'm a complicated reader. What can I say? All right. So let's move on. Kristen, I know we talked about this like on our 100th episode. We talked about best book couples, but Kristen wasn't here. So we're going to let her fill us in on her favorite book couples, because, of course, she's got a few. So go ahead, Kristen. Tell us what you have.
Yeah, just a few. This is the short list, too, by the way. One of my very, very favorite book couples is the lead pair in the novel Losing It by Cora Carmack. Very, very closely related to the second book in that series, Faking It, also by Cora. Those books were, the Faking It was actually the first new adult book I had ever read. Not the first romance I'd ever read, because that honor goes to Jennifer Kruse, but it was like I had kind of fallen out of love with reading, and I had started a new job where I knew I was going to have a lot of downtime, and so I started going back. I started back to the library, and I picked up Faking It just because it looked interesting, and I just fell in love with that book. And so then I realized that it wasn't the first book in the series, it was actually the second, so I went and picked up the first book, Losing It, and I love it almost as much as Faking It. Like, they're very, very closely matched in my book. And they're just, it's a really fun series. Losing It is about Bliss and her teacher's aide professor, who's like just a couple years older than her, that she meets, like kind of a Grey's Anatomy situation. She meets him the night before class and in a bar, and they talk and kind of hit it off. And then the next morning she goes to class and finds out that he's her professor, and she's like, what is happening? Like, no.
I think I've read this book.
Yeah.
Is she an acting student? Yes. Oh, I've totally read this book.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Losing It is really, really good fun. It's hysterical. The best part about Cora's books is that she embraces the awkward and the crazy. Like, things never happen as you would expect them to. Like, it's always a little bit awkward, a little bit strange. And that's why I love her so, so, so much. But I highly recommend that one. The second on my list is Crushed by Lauren Lane. This book, like, just... I had such a hangover after this book. Nothing compared. It's about this sister who is, she's kind of the awkward, weird, you'll notice a pattern. She's kind of the awkward, weird sister to her sister's, like, perfect popular girl thing. Like, she's her polar opposite. She's shorter. She's got curly hair. Her sister has straight hair. Like, all of that. And because of that and her weight, she kind of has always been the odd duck in the family. And watching this girl
like, change herself and want to do things for herself in this book is amazing. And it just so happens to be at the same time that she meets this guy, Michael, who is such a complicated and flawed hero. It's not even funny. Like, the poor guy's been through a lot, but it doesn't even compare to what she's been through. And yeah, it's a great, great story. I'm not doing it justice. I really, really highly recommend Crushed by Lauren Lane. It's part of a quote unquote series, but you don't really have to have read the other two to understand this book to properly love the ending. You'll eventually want to read the other two, but it's a really, really great story. I'm going to move on to Blurred Lines, also by Lauren Lane, who I mentioned earlier. That book was my recommendation for 2015. It came out last September, and I have reread it, I think, 3 times since. It's about Parker and Ben, who are besties and have been trying to prove to the world that a guy and a girl can be best friends for, like, a decade. And they've successfully done it. They've lived together. It's always just worked. And then Parker breaks up with her boyfriend, and they just kind of slip into this, like, friends with benefits situation, and it works for them until it just seems to not work anymore, because they have to, like, they, you know, decide they need to stop or things are going to get weird, and then things get weird anyway. But it's a really, really, really great book. She wrote it as a standalone, and it's one of my favorites. It's definitely my favorite from last year. And last but never least, I'm going to say Lead by Kylie Scott, which I believe was my recommendation from 2014. I still listen to the audiobook for this book over and over and over again. Like, when I'm having a strange, you know, time in my to-be-read list and can't find a book that really hits me, I'll throw this audiobook on. Lena is the heroine, and she is pretty much the perfect heroine for me to read. She's a little bit brash and a little bit not. She sometimes can keep her mouth shut and other times can't. And the lead hero, Jimmy, is the lead singer for a band called Stage Dive. This is one of Kylie Scott's Stage Dive books. And they are magic on the page. Like, he is so awkward and weird, especially for a lead singer. Like, he knows he's, you know, worth $1 million, but in the book, he's trying to, like, get sober after some really strange things had gone down. So she's kind of there and quote unquote works for him. But at the same time, you know, she's trying to pull away because she likes him too much and she knows that's not good. So anyway, you can't go wrong with the Stage Dive boys, especially Jimmy and Lena, who are very, very close to my heart.
All right. Very, very good resounding reviews there. So now I feel like I have to add some things to my to be read list. Although I think I've read two in the Losing It series, one and two, because the second
Golden
one is
Boy
about,
and Angry Girl.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Because the second one is about her friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about Cade.
Who's yes.
Bliss's mm-hmm. bestie. Yep.
Yeah. No. Okay. I definitely read those two. I don't know if I read the last one. All right. Anyway, moving on. Because you started discussing it. I was like, wait a minute. I read that book. It sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
All right. So there, we also kind of have this love stories breakup category, but let's just talk about the breakup stories-ish. Because I think they're fun. And let's face it, there are always going to be breakup stories. So, Karen or Brittany, did you guys have any? I know you didn't write any down, but is there anything you had that you wanted to talk about?
Well, there are some where it's like, there's definitely a romance in the book, but in the end, they're not together anymore. But I kind of don't want to name them because then you know what's coming.
Oh, yeah. I understand. That's okay.
But sometimes one of the first books that I ever read that didn't have a happy ending was This Way, and it's not a romance novel. It's definitely about other things, but the romantic element was so strong in it. And I was like, yeah, I really like these two people together, and then they decide not to be together in the end. And it was so disappointing, but it was also so different for me, and I hadn't read anything like that before, that it was like, wow, you know, so books can sometimes not have a happy ending like that, and, like, you know, the girl doesn't get the guy or vice versa. And that was like mind blowing to me.
Very good. I can see, I understand what you mean, because sometimes you invest in a book and half the reason you're invested in the book is to read about the characters and how they're going to get to where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't get there because that's the way you saw them getting there. And then they don't get there. And you're like, wait a minute, what? You're like, no, that story was written in my head. This is not how it goes. But on the page, that's how it goes. So I definitely understand what you're saying. There's a couple books I've read. I'm like, what is going on right now? I get a little frustrated with them. I'm like, no, this is not how it's supposed to go. I'm not the only one of you guys that can all raise your hands. I know you feel the same way. No, seriously? Okay, fine. All right. Brittany, did you have any you wanted to talk about?
I'm kind of like thinking, but they all get together in the end. But some of like the greatest, like some books just have really good breakups, like, you know, three quarters of the way through.
Yeah.
And then, but they always come back.
But that's
together.
Okay. Like a really, like any good breakup scene is worth a mention, if you can think of one. I know you have like an entire like section, because we have the best revenge plot, and Brittany has like her dissertation ready to go. Like she's been writing on it for a while.
Yeah, no, but I think, well, because I thought about this couple later on, I think that the breakup that's most memorable in my recent memory is when Bex and Nick break up in the Royal We, because like, you know, like the repercussions of them breaking up was like such a huge deal, because like, you know, Nicholas is going to be king, and there's all like these things going on where like she can't really ever fade out of her public image. But even if she goes home to America, it's like this big thing. And then she goes back and tries to live her life again. And it was just, it was really, I love that book so much.
Yes. Yes.
But that breakup
yes.
was so good.
It kind of, sometimes they have to be really good. Do you know what I mean? In order to work themselves mm-hmm. out in the end. Okay. Kristen, I'm going to let you go ahead.
Sure. Okay, my first one isn't truly like a breakup lovey story. The breakup is the band. Yes. If you haven't checked out Leaving Amarillo by Casey Quinn, that's the first book in a trilogy, but this book is my favorite in the trilogy, which blows my mind because I never seem to like the first book in a series. I always like the second or the last or whatever. But this book just blew me away. It's a really great story about a brother, a sister, and a friend, the brother's friend mainly, that have grown up together, and they started making music. They're from Nashville. They're not from Nashville. They're from Amarillo, Texas. But it's like, it's got a Nashville feel to it. If you ever have watched the show, you'll love this book. They're basically, without giving too much away, they've been making music together for a long time, but things have never really been right. And they finally get a break, a chance to kind of, you know, stand out and maybe do something with it. And things don't go right at all. And the main character in this book is Bluebird. I can't think of her name at the moment. It's been way too long since I've read this book. But it's a really, really great story. And it doesn't necessarily leave on the happiest of notes, but you know that there are two more books to the series that will give you the happy ending or the closure that you're looking for. But I highly, highly recommend it, especially if you're music minded at all. Leaving Amarillo is really great. The other breakup story that I have isn't really a breakup story, but it kind of is, so I'm going to say it anyway. It's Letting Go by Molly McAdams. It's the first book in the Thatch series, the second of which comes out Tuesday, I think, and is crazy. But the first book, Letting Go, is about a girl who is engaged to be married, and her fiance dies the day before the wedding. And it's tragic and awful. And you feel so, you know, you feel for her, and you kind of pick up the novel. I think it's like a year or two later, and she's still dealing with it, like trying to move on and go on with life. And she has this bestie named Jagger, who has always been around, and you find out in the book has always, you know, basically had feelings for her, and she's never realized it. And it's them kind of figuring out how to
move on from being best friends and how she has to let go of this first love of hers and figure out how to like make herself okay with moving on, because she has a lot of trouble with that. But it's a beautiful little story. I absolutely fell in love with it and then went searching for the second book, because Letting Go is a couple of years old now. I believe it came out in like 2012 or something. And the second book wasn't released. And I was like, wait, what? And this was like 2015 that I read it. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I went and looked, and it comes out next week. And I got an advanced copy, and it's a really, really great story. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. But the story is really, really, really great.
Excellent. So glad. All right. So I have a couple, but mine aren't, as I'm looking at them, I'm like, they're not all exactly breakup stories, but they all have elements of like love in them somewhere. I know, Karen, you've read To All the Boys I Loved Before by Jenny Han, and right?
You've read that one? I've read that one too.
Oh, I have not read it.
Oh, you didn't?
I have it. I started it. I have not finished it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you read something else by Jenny Han?
Yeah, I read the Ashes to Ashes series.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. I'm sorry. So Karen, Kristen's read it. Sorry. So To All the Boys I've Loved Before is just this really, it's cute in a way, but it's also like embarrassing in some ways too. This girl writes these like love notes to all the boys that she has crushes on, and they accidentally get mailed to each and every one of them. So then she has to kind of like recoup and figure out what she's going to do now that these boys have her like innermost feelings about how she felt about them, whether she still feels about them that way or not. So it kind of just goes from there. And there's a second novel called P.S. I Still Love You that is also about the same characters. And it's about her after a breakup with one of the boys. So it's kind of just an interesting set of books. And Jenny Han writes really cool novels. And so I really liked it. Kristen, did you like that series as well?
I haven't read P.S. I Love You yet. But okay. I have read To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And I think the most jarring part about that book was the ending. And I was so, like, not satisfied. And I don't know if I realized there was another book.
Oh!
So I'm really, really happy to learn this. And I'm going to be looking that one up very soon. But it's a great little story.
And it's different, I think. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like that it was letters. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wonder if that's something with Jenny Han, because the Ashes to Ashes, or is it Burn for Burn? It's something like that. Those are two books.
No, Burn for Burn is Burn for Burn is the first one.
Okay, then the series is Burn for Burn. The ending of that trilogy was really unsatisfying. Like, I wonder if that's. I mean, to be fair, she wrote that with somebody else, Yvonne Vivian, but. I wonder if that's, like, her trademark is, like, here's the ending you didn't expect coming.
She likes a good twist. I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to see. So, Kristen, read P.S. I Still Love You, and then we'll reconvene about that topic.
Yes, most definitely.
All right. Another book that's YA is called Why We Broke Up, and it's written by Daniel Handler and Maria Coleman. And it's literally this book about two people discussing why they broke up, why it didn't work. And when I received this book, like when it came out first, you get all these little bits and pieces that come with it. And it's basically all the stuff that the people are returning to each other within the book. And it's so like, I don't know, it's a little gut-wrenching as you're like, oh, but they're giving these things back. And, you know, it's one of those moments, but it's a pretty interesting read. And I liked it. I think it's a pretty cool way to tell a story about a breakup. So it's definitely different. And the next one I thought of was High Fidelity by Nick Hornby. This was also a movie, so some of you guys may have seen the movie with John Cusack. But this is about a guy, and technically the book takes place in London, but the movie took place in America, of course. So he is like in his early 30s, and he doesn't really want to be committed. He has a girlfriend, and his girlfriend finally just leaves him because he doesn't want to have, you know, be an adult, basically. And so she leaves him for the guy upstairs, and he owns a record shop. So the whole story is told through these like top five lists about music and albums and like all this really cool stuff. And so it's just, if you like music, it's a really fun book to read because you kind of get like, this guy's describing his entire like romance relationship and life through music. And it's kind of cool. And through these top five lists, and it's pretty funny. So that was a really enjoyable book as well. And there may be a happy ending involved in that one. I'm, you know, just saying.
Is that the one that the movie ends with him in the boombox?
No, that's Say Anything.
Thank you.
That's the ultimate 80s movie. Okay.
It's the best movie.
Anything. Yes, I know it's, you know, a problem, but we'll fix that shortly. But yeah, I couldn't remember. I was like, I know it's John Cusack, but it's going to drive me crazy if I don't know. So
okay. No, yeah, that was the younger John Cusack in his 80s reign. Say Anything. Loved it. Anyway, and then the last one is called The Breakup Artist, and it's about this girl who basically runs an online breakup site. If people want to break up with someone, they can contact her, and for the small fee of $100, she will get you out of the relationship and break it up and be done with it. Or she'll break up someone else's relationship for you if you think your friend is in an unhealthy relationship. And the reason she does it, let me explain. She does it is because her sister was like on her way to get married, and the guy just out of the blue broke up with her and dumped her. And so she's watched her older sister, who was this really strong person, be crushed by this. And because she didn't see it coming, and she doesn't meet her friends anymore. Like, things are just really bad for her sister. And so she takes in information from people, and people have to give like a really good pitch as to why they want the people broken up. And if she sees what the other people see, then she'll help them break them up. Along the way, she kind of gets caught up in her own disaster though, and maybe falls for a boy that she definitely shouldn't. So it's kind of how it unravels. And then there's a second book in this series called The Revenge Artist. And the revenge artist is someone else that is now, because now the girl's in love and she's kind of turned over a new leaf. So she's helping people get together rather than breaking them apart. So it's kind of like if you want love advice or how to figure out how to talk to someone, if you're really shy, she'll help you with that. And she'll help you, you know, get together with the person that you want. So someone is now going behind her and seeking revenge by breaking up all the couples that she's helping put together. So that's the second book, The Revenge Artist. So it's kind of interesting. It's a really interesting book I listened to it on an audio recording, but it's a pretty cool book. And it's interesting how this girl sees herself and how she plays, you know, the breakup artist and how it all works out. So definitely a fun read. Check it out. And Karen was like appalled. She's breaking people up. What?
Good reasons. Well, I'm just thinking somebody be like, I want that boy for myself, and then
right. I get it. No, it's not that. It's definitely more altruistic than that. Even Good. Though it's not right per se, it's definitely a little. It's got a little more meaning to it than just being petty. And she won't take every case that she gets. She'll only take it if it's like she believes it to be true. Like if she believes someone is totally pulled away and just disconnected completely with all of their friends and is being sucked in by a relationship. She doesn't see that as healthy. So yeah, she's judging someone else, which she shouldn't, but after seeing her sister, she feels she has the right, not necessarily that she does, but kind of thing. So it's complicated, but it's a lot of fun. So, all right, Karen, actually, no, I'm going to wait. We're going to talk about zombies last. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about zombies last. We're going to go. Sorry. Karen,
I was building myself up.
Well, let's get best revenge plots out of the way, and then we'll move into zombies, because zombies could take a while. Not that Brittany's dissertation on Gone Girl isn't going to take a while, but let's see what
happens.
Spoiler
alert.
Oh, sorry. Brittany is in love with Gone Girl, and it is kind of fantastic and twisted and evil, and oh, God, I love Gillian Flynn, because nobody can write a story like that woman. But, so go ahead, Brittany. Tell us all about revenge and Gone Girl.
Yeah, so when Jen just happened to mention that we would be talking about best revenge plots, I was like, well, Gone Girl takes the cake on that one. I cannot remember reading a book where I was just like, this girl is insane and I love her so much.
It's true. She's brilliant, but damn, but like, she's scary.
Terrifying. And it's just like the way that Amy can mess with people's heads, and just to have like this, it was amazing. And like, you can't trust her or Nick. You don't know who's trying to get revenge on who. Like, you know, it's just, I was so captivated by Gone Girl, and then the movie came out and it didn't disappoint. And It's amazing. And my favorite thing about Gone Girl is actually my father's reaction to it, because it came on HBO and we sat through the whole movie, and at the end he goes, "Well, I know what happens in the sequel." And I'm like, there's no sequel. And he's like, no. When they do the next movie, I know exactly what's going to happen. And I'm like, but Dad, it's over. And he's like, okay, but you know, when they eventually decide to make the next movie, and he has it all planned out, like he could pitch this to Hollywood. I'm not going to reveal what it is in case they do come out with a sequel, but he's very invested in Gone Girl as well. But I think she's just one of the best revenge plotters I've ever read in literature. So hats off to Gillian Flynn, because so good.
How does one get there? Like, how does one, like, I guess with that book in particular, I'm kind of like, damn, what goes on in that woman's mind that she came up with that story?
Like, did she have to, like, lock herself away in, like, a dark shed to write this? Because I can't imagine, like, sitting at my desk with a vase of flowers and the sun shining in, writing about Amy. Like, I would have to go to a very dark place to write, like, physically and mentally.
You're like, right about hole somewhere scary.
Yeah, like a crop space.
Yeah, she just, and it's not her first novel that's creepy. Dark Places, which is also going to be a movie, also incredibly creepy, not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but I loved Gone Girl. I loved everything about Gone Girl.
Yep, like, the highest of revenge plots that, in my limited span of revenge novels, that I can refer to as, like, being the best.
Yeah, well, it's pretty damn impressive, I'm not gonna lie. All right, so, let's see. Kristen, what do you have for revenge plots?
Mine are decidedly less intense than Gone Girl. Then again, I don't think you can get any more intense. By the way, I started that book, didn't get to I got about halfway through the audiobook and could not listen to it anymore because it drove me crazy. And I still have yet to finish the book, Gone Girl. I've seen the movie. It was going to be my saving grace. Like, if I liked the movie, I was going to finish the book. I don't know what it was, but something about the audiobook, like, I couldn't get through it. And I threw it down and was like, forget this, I'm over it. And I want to finish the book because I didn't get to the best part, which is all of Amy's stuff. Like, I stopped right before it got to her, like, tone of voice, you know, when it kind of switches. So I will finish it, I promise, but I had to throw that in there. So if you're listening to the audiobook, like, you can do it. Like, keep going, because I'm sure it gets better. My revenge plot books, I'm going to start with #nerd. It's a series by Cambria Hebert, and the revenge plot isn't the main couple. The revenge plot has to do with someone who's trying to, like, get revenge on them. And it kind of starts in the first book, #nerd, but it continues. It's about a 4-book series, I believe. And it's a really great, fun series. It's set in college. It's about a girl who's totally nerdy, and she gets assigned to tutor the captain of the football team, and she's totally, you know, over it and is not looking forward to this at all. And then he walks in and she kind of gets a little overwhelmed, and it's really, really sweet. The series is adorable, but it does have a revenge-y plot that kind of starts in the first book and continues later on. And the second is the very first romance novel / adult book I think I ever read. It's called Bet Me by Jennifer Crazy. And the whole thing is one person trying to get revenge on another, but you know, it kind of switches back and forth. The main character in this book, Min, is just, she works at an accounting firm, and she's works in the actuarial sciences, which, don't ask me what that actually is, I have no idea. And she goes out to the bar with her friends one night, and they bet her that she can't
get this guy's attention or whatever. So she goes up to talk to him, and she overhears him making a bet over her. And it's just, since she overhears the bet, she needs a date for her sister's wedding, and she just, you know, basically says, all right, fine. He's got this bet to break my heart. I'm going to break his first. And they just go on this crazy train roller coaster thing of both of them trying to get one over on the other. And every time they think they've got, you know, they've got the upper hand, the other kind of, you know, comes out of nowhere. It's one of my favorite books. I still reread it all the time. It's really well written, and it's funny and ridiculous and just good fun. So if you are looking for, it's a little bit older of a read, but it was definitely good fun, and it has a special, special place in my heart.
That's an interesting twist on the usual trope of like the whole bet being made thing, where like they both don't know it, but one of them does.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, she knows about his, and so because of that, yeah, it colors the whole thing. It's definitely a different kind of story, too.
I like it. Very nice. All right, so for mine, I have... It's called Get Even by Gretchen McNeil, and it's about these girls who go to a private school, and really, technically, none of them should be friends. They all come from, like... different sections of, you know, school popularity and whatever. But what they do is they identify who the bullies are and stuff within the school, and they basically set out and get revenge against each and every one of them. And then something happens and somebody turns up dead, and they're marked with the DGM, which stands for Don't Get Mad, and that's what the girls call them. Like, their little group is kind of like, they always mark things with DGM. So they're basically being framed by someone. So it's kind of this cool murder mystery with these girls getting revenge on the bullies of the school. And then the other one is Daughter of Deep Silence by Carrie Ryan. It came out this past summer. And this is a really, really cool novel, you guys. So basically, it's about this girl who survives like a shipwreck, and there's only three people that basically survive. She loses her best friend in the process. She gets killed. So what she does is, no one knows that she's survived, so she basically takes the place of her best friend and becomes her and starts living her life so that she can figure out who destroyed the ship and what happened. Because the only other two people to survive were her best friend's boyfriend and his father, and she thinks that they had something to do with it. So she kind of does this thing where she switches roles and she goes in and becomes this girl so that she can figure out what happens. And so it's a really interesting twist, and there's lots of things that happen along the way, but she's seeking revenge for her friend, and things go a little bit awry as the story unfolds, but it's really cool. So I really like that one as well. And there's a lot of revenge in that one as well. Think of like the TV show. If you guys ever watched the TV show Revenge, it's got a little bit of that. It's got a little bit of that into it. So you think about how the girl switches, like she becomes somebody new. It's kind of like that. So not quite as crazy, but you know, pretty good all the same. So Karen, did you have any? Did I ask you?
I don't have any.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Now, Karen, are you ready? Because it's gonna be your turn to talk.
So ready.
Okay, so zombies, go.
Yes. Should we talk about Pride and Prejudice and zombies first?
If you would like. This is your section, so I'm going to let you do what you like.
Cool. Okay, so...
Should we put, like, a disclaimer right now saying, like, we're going to talk about the movie. If you want to go and see it without hearing us talk about it, that's probably good.
Yeah, you probably want to turn us off now. Because
just in case.
This will probably take up the rest of the time. So just so you know, you've been warned. We're going to talk about it. There could be spoilers. I mean, it's Pride and Prejudice.
I'll put a timestamp in the show notes so you can tune back in if we stop talking about
it. See, look at that. Brittany's so nice.
Kristen and I saw this on Friday, opening day, and it was... everything I ever could have hoped that it would have been. And okay, so Austin update. I did not get a chance to read Pride and Prejudice before seeing it. I ran out of time. I know. I tried really hard. and I just couldn't fit it in with all the other stuff that I did. But, and this is the hilarious part, I am much more interested in reading it now that I've seen this movie.
Of course.
Which I realize, Kristen was like, I hope it's not disappointing because there's like a lot fewer sword fights. And I was like...
And by a lot,
she means none.
Yeah.
But it was really good. And I don't know how they did it, but they managed to make this, like, seriously kick-ass action movie zombie film and also make the romance plot, like, just really good. And I have a general idea of what this story is about. And from what I saw, it, like... It hit the beats that I knew it was going to hit, but as people who have read and really like Pride and Prejudice, what did you guys think of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
I have a quick question for you before we do that. Did you read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies before seeing it?
I did not.
Okay. Because it's different.
Oh.
Yeah, it diverges about 3/4 of the way through.
Good so, different or bad different?
Interesting different. I liked the movie. I mean, there are certain things that they didn't include from the book that I was okay with. And then what they did do in the movie, I loved. I really liked Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the film, because I wasn't expecting to, just because the book was sort of like reading the book after having read Pride and Prejudice quite a few times before picking up the... Like, you know, it felt like a spoof and it was funny and it was enjoyable. But then going into the movie, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a tongue in cheek type movie. And it wasn't. They created a whole world that was not really too well developed in the book. And I appreciated that a lot. I just wish that they did a lot more of it earlier on instead of hitting all the Austin beats so hard early in the movie. I wish that they hit what they did in the end of the movie more in the beginning, but I really enjoyed it. I'm going to go see it again. I saw it early, like a week before it came out, and it was great. I walked away very happy with what they did with it.
Jen, what did you think of it? I don't think I've actually talked to you about it yet.
You haven't. I actually really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised at how well it worked in a lot of ways. And there are two scenes that I loved more than anything else. And they stood out to me really well. And the first one is in the beginning, the first fight where the girls, where the Bennett sisters go in and fight together. Like, it is so ridiculous and yet so good. You're like, they're in these ridiculous silk gowns, hair all done up, and they have weapons everywhere. And everyone else is running away from the zombies and they are running to the zombies. And I think that's what I loved about it. It's the five of them working together, and just the whole way it was shot was really cool. And then the other scene I absolutely loved is when Darcy proposes to Elizabeth and she was like, oh no.
And then they fight. It was so good.
And you're like, this is the best scene ever. Like, I've seen that scene played out a bunch of different times. I've read it, you know, but seeing it played out that way was so good. I loved it. It was she like, yes.
She like, this is Sparta, kicks him in the chest.
I know. She like meant business. And neither one of them backed off. And I think it was just perfect. Like, I loved everything about that. So I really just enjoyed it. Like, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I have a question for Jen and Kristen. Sorry, Karen, but you haven't seen or read anything. two questions. First question, was this just me, or was this the first time where Bingley and Darcy were together and I'm like, Bingley can get it, and Darcy was like, eh.
Yeah.
Normally I am so in love with Darcy as soon as he walks on the screen, but this time I was like, oh, Bingley looks really attractive in this adaptation.
Yeah. Bingley was very attractive. Douglas Booth is a fine looking man.
Yeah, and I just watched him and Then There Were None, like the recent like BBC adaptation, and I was like, okay.
He's also in Romeo and Juliet, the recent version.
I talked to Karen about Darcy in this. I was like, he is not my Darcy. Like,
no.
Nowhere near my Darcy. The only Pride and Prejudice, like, iteration that I've seen, but the one that I love is Keira Knightley's version of it. Like, the one that came out, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago now. And Matthew McFadden is my Darcy. I know everyone loves Colin Firth, and I understand, but it's not, he is not my Darcy.
Have you seen the adaptation?
I've seen parts of it, but after about 45 minutes, I fell asleep and couldn't do it anymore.
Oh my, okay.
I could watch it in one sitting. It's 6 hours long, but I could watch it in one sitting.
I know. My roommate tried to make me watch it in college, and again, 45 minutes, and then I fell asleep. So, yeah, but... Yeah, so for me, Darcy was a bit underwhelming on the, like, you know, lead aspect, but everything else, he kicked ass. Like, I liked him by the end of the movie. It just, at the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah. Not sure.
And then, Karen, we talked about this before we started recording, but I just want it on the record, and Karen can chime in as well. The best Mr. Collins to ever Mr. Collins is
yes. Oh my God, you guys.
When he was this guy is ridiculous, and I love him, and I know you're supposed to dislike him, but he was perfect.
When he was asking for an audience with Elizabeth, the second he walked in the room, I just started laughing. I'm like, this guy is so good.
He was so good. Doing,
Mr. Collins was just, it was brilliant. When he's eating the scones, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
I loved it when he was like, I would like Miss Jane. And they're like, oh, no, she spoke for. Oh, well, is that quite certain? Is there no negotiation?
And then Catherine was so terrifying and awesome.
Oh, I yes. know. Lena Headey was just like, oh, I loved her.
I wish she had more of a role, because I think she's a fantastic actress. And she's so good at those, like, overbearing, strong characters, and the fact that she kind of just, like, sat on her throne the whole time was a little disappointing, but she was amazing anyway.
I was hoping that their confrontation would play out a little bit better, because that is one of my favorite scenes in Pride and Prejudice, is when Lady Catherine comes to talk to Elizabeth, because it's just so good, and I was hoping that it would be, like, Elizabeth's kicking that bodyguard's, like, butt the whole time, but
yeah,
I wanted her and Lady Catherine to just, like, have at it, but that's okay. That minor complaint.
I don't know. I loved it, and I love that it wasn't so overly grossly zombified. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes zombie movies can be really disgusting.
I really appreciated it, because I don't like zombies at all.
Right, so I appreciated that there was a balance. Like, it had its moments, and there were some gross bits, but it wasn't, like, all zombie grossness. Like, I like kept a really nice balance.
I thought I was going to die when Darcy shot Mrs. Featherstone's head off. That was the scariest part in the movie for me. Like, I said a very bad word when that happened, because that was terrifying.
No, I don't know. Overall, I just thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah. I enjoyed the way it played out. What you were saying, Brittany, the tone of it was really interesting, because it took itself seriously, which I think it had to do to actually be a good movie. But at the same time, there was a lot of humor, and there was a lot of, like, these are zombies in, like, 19th century clothing. We realize it's kind of ridiculous, but just go with it. And they walked that line so well.
Yeah, and they really did a great job of not focusing too much on saying, like, we're throwing the fact that this is Pride and Prejudice in your face every 5 seconds. Like, the lines, some of the lines were the same, all this stuff. There was a line from Northanger Abbey thrown in there, though, which, like, threw me for a loop. I was like, this doesn't belong. Stop it. Like, that is clearly a quote from Northanger Abbey. Like, get out of here. But anyway, I was in the screening and I'm like, what? Only person who cared about that in the whole screening.
Probably the only one who noticed it. Yep. Willing to bet.
Well, it's one of my favorite quotes. I was like,
Which one was it? Go ahead and tell us.
It's the one where Elizabeth is talking to Darcy when they're in, like, that, you know, zombie burial ground. And she's just like, sometimes a woman has to go abroad in search of adventure. That is from Northanger Abbey.
Ah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Jane Austen super fan here.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
But yeah, so I thought that they did a great, I was worried, that was my biggest concern going into it, was like, this, we're going to like say every single line beat for beat, and the ones that they did played really well and they weren't overdone, and like, it was good. It was just a really, really good adaptation. Much better. I'm sorry, Karen, I know you haven't read it yet, but much better than the book.
Okay, that's cool. I can get on board with that.
It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway.
Yeah. It was a great movie. I'm so glad we saw it. Okay, so I do have some books that maybe have to do with zombies as well that are romance books.
All right, make it happen. Make it happen.
Well, obviously there's Warm Bodies, which I think most of us have either seen or read, or maybe both. But I also looked up on Goodreads books like Warm Bodies, and I just want to read you some of these titles because they're fantastic. There's Eat, Slay, Love by Jesse Peterson, which seems like it could be great. That's actually the third book in Living with the Dead series. And there are some other ones. Let's see some of the funny ones. Zombie Britannica. And Gone with the Respiration is another series. And Breathers, A Zombie's Lament.
Oh my.
Which I thought was hilarious. But then I also looked up books like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And there are some even better ones here. Because obviously, like, that's not the only book that he's written. And it's also not the only, like, weird parody book of the classics. And for anyone who is really interested, he's written a prequel and a sequel to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, so there's more books out there if you're interested. And I wonder, do you think if this movie does well, they'll do another one?
They kind of left it that way at the end. Like, if you stayed for like halfway through the credits, yeah, there was like with them. Yeah. It's not doing well, so.
Really?
It's not doing well at
all. It's not doing well at all.
Oh, that makes me really sad.
Yeah, I mean, and everyone is being really clever with their headlines being like, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, lifeless at the box office.
Oh, look, they know how to use a thesaurus. anyway, yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought it was really enjoyable, and I wasn't 100% expecting to like it, to be honest. So, I don't know. I think if more people talk positively about it and, like, spread the word, like, if, you know what I mean? I mean, most Jane Austen fans aren't necessarily zombie fans, let's be real.
Yeah.
and I think that's, I will say this, when I was at the theater, I was totally shocked to see this group of four, like, guys come in, and it was only guys, come in to see the film. Like, I was actually surprised, because the rest of the theater was primarily women.
But, yeah. In our theater, there was this old couple. They were like in their 70s or something.
I love it.
They were in there with us, and I was like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, but I was really surprised that just a group of, because, again, I think the Pride and Prejudice part tends to scare people away. But it's actually, it's not straight up Pride and Prejudice, and it's not, it doesn't take itself overwhelmingly seriously, but it does what it needs to do to be true to the time and the text it's referencing. But I didn't think it was, like, all mushy love and romance. Like, it was definitely zombified and definitely a thing I think lots of people could like, you know? So, but I was surprised at the males in my theater because, like I said, it was just a group of males. It wasn't like it was, you know, they came with their girlfriends or something because they were being dragged. Like, it was interesting to see. I always find that stuff interesting when you go to see certain movies. Like, when I go to see Deadpool next week, what's the theater going to look like? Is it going to be mostly guys? It's probably going to be mostly guys.
I don't know. Do you think so? I mean, I don't know. I'm so ridiculously excited for Deadpool.
You have no idea. Like, I'm just, I called my brother. I'm like, so.
Somehow Deadpool. We just get back here.
I know. Deadpool, I know. Everything. We can't, you guys, like, you have no idea. The episode we record after we've gone to see Deadpool could just be about Deadpool. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's going
to
be
I got invited to Hero Hype to talk about Deadpool.
Oh, special. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, focusing. We're focusing.
Yes. I just want to read through some of these. This is the last of weird stuff that I have, I promise. But books like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So, there's Android Karenina.
Yes, I've started part of these.
Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and Zombie Jim. Night of the Living Trekkies, Vampire Darcy's Desire, Jane Slayer, the literary classic with a blood-sucking twist, Little Women and Werewolves, Mansfield Park and Mummies, this is the full title, Monster Mayhem, Matrimony, Ancient Curses, True Love, and Other Dire Delights, Queen Victoria, Demon Hunter, there's another one, Mr. Darcy, Vampire, Emma and the Vampires, Shakespeare Undead, The Undead World of Oz, which I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of interested in reading that one. Zombie Haiku, Good Poetry for Your Brains, Alice in Zombieland, and Emma and the Werewolves, Jane Austen's classic novel with blood-curdling lycanthropy.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. Okay.
I think the Android one at the beginning might be the best play title that
Android Corona
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's fabulous.
That's pretty, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, anything else that you want to talk about in your zombie category, Karen? This is your chance to shine.
Did I already say there's more Warm Bodies books coming out?
No, there is another Warm Bodies book coming out, though. Mm-hmm. I do know about that.
Because there was The New Hunger, which is the prequel, and then The Burning World is book two, and that should be out in a couple of months.
Interesting. I mean, I think I liked the Warm Bodies movie more than I liked the Warm Bodies book.
Yeah, me too.
Which is, you know, I don't know what that says about book two for me.
Sorry. I'm interested because the blurb says, like, you know, they thought everything was getting back to normal and then these people come in a helicopter and it turns out that the zombies weren't their only weapons. And I'm like, my God, what could be next? So it seems like they're raising the stakes a bit and I'm interested to find out exactly how.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And like I said, I mean, maybe they'll make another Warm Bodies movie because, I mean, the first one did pretty well. It was a surprise. I think it was kind of like one of those cult classics that everyone kind of like just jumped on board with right away. Because it wasn't your typical zombie movie. It was very self-aware in what it did. So, I mean, I liked it in that regard. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, I guess. So Warm Bodies has the second book. Anything else coming up zombie-wise? I'm trying to think.
I wrote an article about how February is all about the dead because there's a lot of dead related things coming out this month.
Yes, there is.
But I couldn't really find any specific zombie books. There are some other ones that were like about horror things.
Yeah.
But yeah. So if you don't really like Valentine's Day, there's plenty of gruesome things to watch instead.
Karen's like, go the total opposite direction and just, like, go for the dead. Oh, I love it. I love it. So just as a reminder, our next book will be Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, as if we haven't talked about it enough already. But just think, we can do a book-to-film comparison our next episode, which will be in 2 weeks' time, because we're taking a week off to recoup and get everything read that we need to read. So Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies will be in 2 weeks' time. And then in March, we'll kick it off with a couple of fun news episodes. And I believe we're going to have a guest on at some point in March. The date has not been decided. But be aware that there'll be a guest author popping by to chat about their book. And then we will do The Shadow Queen by CJ Redwine, which is a really cool fairy tale spin on Snow White. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.